Isaiah chapter 43. It has been our custom over this last few years to bring a motto text. It is our will to do the same again today as we have entered into 2015. A little word that we can take with us and pray over and lay hold upon for this year. Isaiah 43, verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. Thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall a flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I give Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up. And to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even every one that is called by my name. For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes, and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together. Let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this, and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witness, that they may be justified. Or let them hear and say, it is truth. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake I have sent to Babylon, and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans, whose cry is in the ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea, and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together, they shall not rise, they are extinct. They are quenched as tow. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness, and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. Amen. Ending our reading at the end of verse 21. And we know the Lord himself will add his own divine blessing upon the reading of his precious and his infallible word. I'd like you to turn back again with us to Isaiah chapter 43. We have entitled our message, The Best to Come. The best to come. Let's unite our hearts together, please, in a word of prayer as we come to the preaching of God's precious word. You pray the Lord might have a word in season to your heart this morning. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the hymns of Zion and the psalm that we've been singing. Thank the Lord for the great truths therein. Lord, we would pray in the words of that last hymn, we turn unfilled to thee again. Lord, we pray that thou would shut out every distraction. We pray, Lord, this morning we might drink well at thy well of salvation. We might drink well at the one of whom it was said, We shall never thirst again. Oh God, may we feed upon our living Savior today. And we pray that every soul would have a word to their own heart. May no soul go away from this house this morning without having heard the voice of the Lord to them. We pray for the unsaved. We love them in Christ. We'd ask, Lord, this first Sabbath of a new year might be the very day where God will stop them in their wild career and turn them to the Lamb of God. Oh God, visit that heart that needs salvation. Visit that heart that needs restoration. Lord, there are those who are cold and walking in bypath meadow. Lord, while they're still and ever will be thy children, yet they've left their first love. Lord, we pray that thou would give the word to their heart that might restore them to thee this morning. Bless those of thy people that are going on. Lord, how we need a word to our heart. How we need, Lord, a word in the midst of an evil and adulterous generation. We pray that thou would speak that word to our soul. To that end, I pray for the infilling of thy Spirit, that I might know that anointing from above to preach as thus and thus saith the Lord. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God makes himself known in many ways. And in the course of the words of this chapter, there are various titles that he uses to encourage the people of Israel amidst their captivity. Verse 14, for example, he is the Lord, their Redeemer. He is the Holy One of Israel. If you look at verse 15, you will see that he gives his people a fourfold reminder concerning himself. He is the Lord. That is Jehovah, as you'll see from the authorized text. It's capitals. And wherever you see the Lord in capitals, you know it is the Hebrew word for Jehovah. It is the name that is used in the covenant promises that he made to Israel. He is also the Holy One who stands against and opposed to their unholiness. He is also the creator of Israel, the very one that brought the nation into existence, and the one who sustained them throughout all their circumstances. And you'll notice the fourth one, he is and was their king. They were present under the rule of a foreign power because of their rebellion and because of their sin against the Lord. But the Lord was still their king. And here is a fourfold reminder to them concerning these things. Here's something that they were not to forget. And dear people, likewise, here are encouragements for us amidst what seems to be a continuing dearth and captivity to the apathetic and to the careless spirit that is abroad, which in turn often leads to a cold heart toward the means of grace and to the work of God in general. Let's be honest this morning, in this first Sabbath of 2015, that's the sort of day in which we're serving the Lord in. The church is not in the midst of the fires of revival as yet. And yet, oh, how we need it. For when God, the Holy Spirit, is poured out upon his people, there's a purging, and there's a cleansing, and there is a putting away of the dross before there is a shining forth of the glory of God. You think of Nehemiah, and we read of Nehemiah when he went to build the walls, that there was much rubbish, and the much rubbish had to be cleared away from the foundations before the wall was to be commenced in the building of it. And so is the state of things in our nation at large. Apostasy has deepened. False religion abounds. A conforming to the world amongst the professing church is rampant. We are living in dark days, spiritually speaking. In dark days, morally speaking. But oh, men and women, never forget this, that there were worse days before. Church history begs us to remember those days in which the people of God were persecuted for their faith.
Days in which there wasn't the freedom to go freely to the house of God and to worship God as we have today. And in this chapter before us, God reminds his people that he is God and that he is God from all eternity. He is a sovereign, all-powerful God which challenges the gods of wood and of stone. A God who promises his people in the midst of their affliction, in their captivity, that he will deliver them. He states in verse 13, I love it, at the end of it, I will work, and who shall let it? In other words, when God works, who can reverse it? That's the sense of that word. And what God was to Israel then is what God is still to his people today and will be this year. He is still the covenant-keeping God whose promises are yea and amen in Christ. He is still the Holy One, the thrice holy God, who is of purer eyes than to behold evil and canst not look on iniquity. He is the creator of all things and of his church, for he purchased his church with his own precious blood. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. We say without apology this morning that Christ is head and he is King of this church. And on the basis of who God is, and on the basis of his love for his people, he comes and he gives us a word. And the word to our hearts is this: the best is yet to come. I want you to lay hold upon verse 19. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I want you to pray over that verse this year. Consider it with me for a little time this morning. I want you to see the past blessings. The people of God were in captivity at this point in a foreign land under Babylonish rule. And yet for their comfort, they're given this word from God through his servant Isaiah and the deliverance that he would bring about. This was not something impossible. Because you'll realize the simple fact is this, that God had wrought such deliverances in the past for their fathers. And in their hearing, it is rehearsed something of those past blessings. And thinking of those past blessings, this would have encouraged them. Verse 16, thus saith the Lord. This wasn't a mere word of a man. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters. The one who was giving them this message for the present was the one who had made a way in the Red Sea when he led Israel through it as on dry land. And the God that brought them through that was also the God that brought them across the Jordan and into the promised land 40 years later. I want you to consider just for a moment what God did at the Red Sea. He made a road for his people. He made a straight way. He made a refuge to them into which they fled and were safe, the waters being a wall unto them. But he also made a grave for their enemies. You consider the word of Exodus chapter 14 and verse 13. It says this, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The chariot and the horse were drawn out by him who is Lord of all hosts, so that they might fall together. You look at verse 17 of our passage, which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinct. They are quenched as tow. That's a word for flax. They're just quenched like flax. They lay down in that Red Sea when they sunk to the bottom and they perished, never were to rise again in life, and nor never will, till the great and final day of accountability shall come in for all men. And so for Israel, they had encouraging memories of the past deliverances. We read of their enemies, the Egyptians, that they were like the candle wick placed in water. They were extinct. They were put out. They were quenched at once in the Red Sea. And for our encouragement, you know, it's good for us at times to remember what God has done formerly for His people against His and against our enemies. The past deliverances show us that the power of God is never in question. And the God that can close the off licenses and the drinking dens in our town is the God who is still on the throne today, and He can close every one of them. But men and women, while the past blessings are encouraging, yet there is also a note of caution to be exercised, and indeed it is exhorted here in verse 18. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. They were not to be hung up on the past mercies which they had been reminded of. For the bringing of Israel out of Egypt and through the Red Sea and the drowning of Pharaoh and his army in it, though these things were worthy to be remembered and remembered with thankfulness and with praise unto the glory of God and for the encouragement of their faith, yet not in comparison of what God was going to do. They were not to remember the former things so as to take occasion to undervalue the present things as if the former days were better than these. You know, there are some believers like these people of Israel who dwell in the memories of the past. And yet they're not found rejoicing in what God has done for them in the present. Men and women, we cannot live in the past. While we're thankful for the past mercies of God, and in particular toward this work of the souls that were saved, the souls that are going on with God, the preserving of the work down through the years, the building of the work, the giving the increase, physically, material, numerically, yet these things are not to engage our rapt attention. And the context shows us why that was not to be the case with the nation of Israel and why it ought not to be so for us either. For there is implied in these words the expectations of the future mercies of God. The words of our text which follow are not speaking of the past, but they are changed to what God was going to do and what God was about to do in the future. In other words, they were being reminded what God had formerly done in the past, He was about to do again. God in the past had made a way for His people out of Egypt. God was about to do it again. Praise His name, He can do the same again. The deliverances and salvation that He wrought in the past, He can do the same again. He can give us greater mercies, for He is the same unchangeable God. For I am the Lord, I change not. And it is to the unchangeable and it is to the eternal God to whom we look to and rest upon for the year that lies before us. While we thank God for the blessings of the last year of the hand of the Lord upon the building of this new sanctuary, listen, God says we're not to fix our attention upon these things. These are great blessings. These are great tokens of God. Listen, but they're in the past. But rather, there's to be a looking forward. And looking forward with a growing expectation of what God is able to do again amongst us. What applies to each of His people in a general sense and as a word to our own hearts, it applies also in a very individual sense in our individual walk with God. Let me ask you this morning, Is your communion with the Lord up to date? We're not to be living in a past experience with the Lord because we're in danger, therefore, of growing sour and growing cold. Is your Christianity, believer, is your communion with the Lord, is your walk with God up to date? Is it in the present? Can you testify of what the Lord spoke to you even this morning before you come out to the house of God? Can you testify of how the Lord blessed you even this week? Even this morning, God can restore unto the backslider the years that the locus of time or the locus of pleasure or the locus of carelessness and prayerlessness has eaten away in your individual walk with Him. I trust and pray the Lord will do that work for some soul in this meeting. The first of 2015, you'll be able to look back and say, it was then the Lord restored me and brought my walk up to date. Having noticed the past, I want you to come with me and notice the promise. These people had a word in season. And it was a word which amounted to a promise from God. You see, they wouldn't have reason to ask by way of complaint as Gideon did in Judges 6, where he said, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then has all this befallen us? And where be all His miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?" These people wouldn't be able to say that. For they would see those mercies repeated. Aye, indeed, they would see them outdone. You'll notice that it was a promise that was of something special. That can be ascertained by the very fact that it is to commence with a behold. Verse 19 of our text, "Behold, I will do a new thing." It would be a wonderful and unheard of thing, something I would give them cause to give attention to, for that's what the word "behold" means. Look at this. Give attention to this. Remember John the Baptist, as he stood on the shore of the River Jordan as he baptized, and he looked up beyond the crowd and he saw the Son of Man coming. And he said to the people, "Behold, the Lamb of God which beareth away the sin of the world." The Lamb of God is worthy of all our attention. And so God came to these people in the midst of their affliction, and He gives this word of promise, "Behold, I will do a new thing." That's the business that God is engaged in, you know. He made the creation and the world out of nothing. He made it all anew. At the end of time, when this old world shall be rolled up like a garment, His promise is found in the words of Revelation 21 and 5. "Behold, I make all things new." In salvation, it is the Lord whose promise is found in Ezekiel 36 and 26. "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you." And when God moves in grace and salvation, we also know that He puts a new song in our mouth, even praise unto our God. The Lord doesn't merely put a new cloth upon an old garment. For if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. "All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." He gives us a new name. When we are enabled to approach Him through that new and living way, God's salvation is not something that's half-baked. It's not something which can be termed even as turning over a new leaf. He makes all things new. And He promises to His people, as we set our face to behold a new year, "Behold, I will do a new thing." You'll consider also this special promise will be surprising. "Behold, I'll do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth." And the sense is there of a plant that is grounded and it's rooted in the soil. and it will bud forth as a branch in a very short time, suddenly and all at once. For there is no appearance or sign of it. All of a sudden, it springs forth. Don't forget, these people were in captivity. They were under that Babylonian rule. And there was no, they didn't see any difference in their condition. But God was saying, I will do a new thing. And that new thing that will spring forth suddenly for your deliverance. I wonder, do we not see the same terminology used of the Savior in that great chapter of Isaiah of the cross? Isaiah 53 and verse 2. It says, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. Oh, that there would be new fruits of him who is the branch, manifest in this church this year. That this year we might see great deliverances wrought by the springing forth of Christ amongst his people as he is preached and as he is uplifted as the only Savior. I tell you the answer to all our troubles, the troubles of this nation. And you'll probably hear plenty about that in the next number of months. The troubles of this area. We have the answer. We have the answer to the apostates who care not for God nor his word. There's an answer for the papacy which damns souls into a Christless eternity. And for every false religion who deny the only true and living God, there's an answer for the Sodomite. There's an answer for the immoral who pollute our land. And the answer lies in the springing forth of the power of the living Christ. That's the answer. You'll notice that this new thing will be seen. He says, shall ye not know it? It will be known to them that looked for it and to those who in hearing the promise expected it to come. They would own it to be from the hand of God in whom they believe. Remember how the psalmist puts that in Psalm 126 and verse 1. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion. Here's a psalm that brings us right into the background of where we are today. The background of Isaiah 43, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them, the dream. It came forth suddenly. Then was her mouth filled with laughter and her tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Here's a promise that will be seen for those who look for it and expect it. There's no room for unbelief. I underline to your heart again, it's a promise from the one who says in verse 13, I will work, and who shall let it? Who shall prevent God from doing of his own good pleasure and his perfect will? Will you lay hold upon God for this promise for this year and see this new thing not only in your own heart and not only in your own life, but in your family and in the church family? That new thing may be, it may be the conversion suddenly of that child that you've been praying for a long time. That new thing may be God using you as a witness unto that neighbor or loved one or that workmate beside you. That new thing may be many other things that God will do for his church. But will you lay hold of God for it? Will you pray it back to God? Lord, thou hast said, I will do a new thing now. It shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? There's another thought that I want to leave with you. That's the prospect. What was God about to do for them? He promises not only to deliver them out of Babylon, but to conduct them safely and comfortably to their own land again. It was something that would demonstrate his power. For we read at the close of this verse the conditions and the obstacles that would have to be overcome. You look at our text. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. You see, the country where they were, Babylon, between that and the land of Canaan, could only be described as a wilderness and a desert. And the wilderness and the desert are well known for its barrenness and its fruitlessness. Those same words could be placed upon the spiritual landscape of our own land and many a heart. Those words could well aptly apply and describe many a home in this town and district. People who will have an affiliation with a particular church, but that's as far as their spirituality or their religion goes. But dear people, let not the landscape, let not the circumstances, let not the homes be a means of discouragement. For God's promise is one which reminds us that nothing is too hard for God. And the prospect is described, and it's laid out here in a few words. I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. That speaks to me primarily of two things. That God would give guidance, so that from their captivity, there would be before them a way back through that wilderness, through that weary and dry and desert land, into the place which flowed with milk and honey. God would give them guidance. But it also speaks to me of refreshment. The same God that made a way in the sea would also make a way in the wilderness and lead them through the greatest difficulties. And he that made dry land in the waters can produce waters in the driest land. And he can do it in an abundant measure so as not only to give drink to his people but to the very beasts of the field. One who has seen us into a new year is a God who will guide his people and also give us that refreshment from the everlasting wells of his salvation. God can make a highway for the preaching of his word so that it may run and be glorified, and certainly that is our prayer. But he can also cause rivers to spring up in a dry and in a thirsty land. He can do that new thing in terms of reviving his people. Dear soul, this prospect spoken to the people can be looked upon in a prophetical sense, you know, as the giving of the greatest need, and that was the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. God would do that new thing. A virgin would be with child, and the great Redeemer would come forth. He would be in time speak of himself as that life-giving spring of which any that shall taste, they shall never thirst again. But he came in order that he would go to the cross of Calvary. And there was placed upon him the great burden of sin of his people. Through the sacrifice of himself in the sinner's stead and in the sinner's place, he would open up a way back to God for those held in captivity, for those held by many a snare, for those in the chains of the old devil this morning. I want to tell you, young man or young woman, there's a way opened up from the dark paths of sin. But it's this Calvary's cross. That's where you must begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus. There's a way. Christ is that way. Christ opened up that way when he laid down his life on that cross. There's a way out of the old booze this morning. There's a way out of the old gambling school this morning. There's a way out of the old drug circles this morning. Christ. The way. Do you notice the purpose of it all? Look at verse 20. The beast of the field shall honor me. Verse 21. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. It would be to bring glory to God. The very animals, as it were, would honor their Creator. And the people would praise His name. Did you ever ask yourself, dear child of God, why God has saved your soul? 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. He has saved you, He has saved me, that He might be glorified. We might render praise unto His great name. Oh, may this year give us even greater cause to praise the name of our God and to give honor that is due unto His name alone. Not the name of the Free Church, not the name of this preacher or any preacher, but Christ alone. I want to close with a word of precaution as a means of a footnote. You see, even though God had promised to do a new thing, and even though God had blessed them, and there was the prospect of even greater to come, yet they were a people who have a charge laid against them from God. You look at verse 22 that we didn't read. But thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob. But thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. The change of tone is noted with the word but. They were a people who were the descendants of Jacob. They were a people who bear his name. But they never followed in his footsteps. What was Jacob well known for? You'll get the answer in Hosea chapter 12 and verse 4. Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spake with us. Jacob was known as a man who prevailed in prayer. That night when the angel of the Lord wrestled with him, he would not let him go until he blessed him. He prevailed, he wept, he made supplication, and here, there, have the name of Jacob. But yet the Lord says, but thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob. They were a prayerless people. And furthermore, they're also called Israel in that verse. But they didn't live up to that name either. That name that declared their ancestor had a prevailing power with God and with men. Here were a people, and the Lord says, they'd grown weary of Him. Weary of His word. Weary of His worship. Weary of His ordinances. And you know, the prophet Malachi brings out a very similar thought in Malachi 1 and verse 13, where the Lord speaks through him. Ye said also, behold, what a weariness is it! And ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts, and ye have brought that which was torn, and lame, and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? They had grown weary. I pray that we would not as a people grow weary in any sense of the word in which it is found in that context. May God cause us to heed this precaution, to realize that if we are to expect God to do this new thing, then we must, men and women, listen to this, underline it, we must seek Him for it. We must pray, we must seek the Lord that God might do this new thing. May this charge not be placed upon my congregation, but thou hast not called upon me. And thou hast been weary of me. But may the opposite be the case. in 2015. Dear sinner, can I close with a word to your heart? Will you take God of God's provision this morning in salvation? Will you look to Christ and be saved? It's the best start you could make to a new year. Forget about your resolutions. They're probably broken already. But look to Christ. Look to the only one that can save you. May God help you this morning to seek Him while He is to be found. And you might call upon Him while He is near for His own name's sake. May the Lord bless His word to each of our hearts this morning for His own name's sake. Let's bow our heads, please, in a word of prayer. Father and our God, we thank Thee for this text. And while we thank Thee for the past blessings, yet, Lord, it is a verse that encourages us to look forward. For Thou hast said, behold, I will do a new thing. It shall spring forth, shall ye not know it? Lord, I pray that Thou would make a way in the wilderness. Thou would give us the waters in the desert, please. Lord, do it for us, for Jesus' sake. Lord, there's dearth and dryness abroad. But oh, that Thou would speak the word and it shall be done. Lord, Thou hast said, I will work it. And who will let it? There's no one who can overturn Thy plan or purpose. None who can stay Thine hand or say unto Thee, what doest Thou? But oh, that Thou might do it. For Thy glory's sake. Lord, if Thou were to visit this South Down area, surely it would be much glory to given to Thyself. O God, help us, Lord, to be a praying people. A people, Lord, who seek it. A people, Lord, who will lay hold upon this promise that Thou might do it for us. Hear this, our prayer. Speak to those who are yet without Christ. May they call today. May they seek Thee today. And we thank the Lord, Thou hast reminded us that they shall be found. Thou shalt be found of them that call. Part us with Thy blessing and in Thy fear. Take us to our homes in safety. Bring us back tonight. We pray these things in our Savior's precious name.